the last times is that Jesus said if he did not shorten the days, there would be what? No flesh left alive. And we see all kinds of things going on. I'll tell you a few of them just to scare you that you might not know. I'll just tell you, wake you up then. Okay, Russia today or yesterday just started deploying a new type of ballistic missile. And this missile has got what they call a 40 megaton yield. That means just one missile could destroy the whole state of Wisconsin. It's the bomb that they dropped on Hiroshima was 20,000 tons. This is 40 million tons equivalent. And in fact, the nickname of it was Satan. The nickname of the missile is Satan. You know, the Bible speaks about, I think, nuclear weapons. It's not in my text, but maybe in later. It speaks about the fact that they shall lift up the bright and shining sword, and the land before them shall be like the Garden of Eden, but behind them it shall be black. It shall be devastated. And it speaks about what happens when a nuclear bomb goes off, really. It speaks about the fact that the flesh will melt from the bones before the bodies even hit the ground. That's what happened in Hiroshima. Just the flash stripped, burnt off the skin before the body hit the ground. That's in the Bible. We are living in end times. It's only the mercy and grace of God that he that letteth hasn't been moved out the way yet. And if I can encourage us to take the time we're living in seriously. Sister Margaret? Oh yeah, they have been spending money on their weapons and weaponizing, and certainly we're living in a time and age. North Korea, yes, they're also making a lot of noises and trying to get to the place where they can hit America with a nuclear weapon. So I say all of this is that we need to take the time that we're living in seriously. The question is, are we ready? Because Revelation 14:15, this scripture is going to be fulfilled one of these days. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So, you see, everything that God is going to do, he's already laid it out. Laid it out in symbolic terms in the Old Testament. And we can study the harvest in the Old Testament, and from that, we're going to get a deep insight into the harvest that's to come. When Israel was coming up to the land of Canaan, it was revealed to them in Deuteronomy 8:8 that there would be, the land would have different things to be harvested. And here are the things: wheat, Deuteronomy 8:8, a land of wheat and barley and vines. What do you get off of vines? Grapes and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil of olive and honey. Well, in the Bible, when it says honey, it's actually meaning a crushed and boiled dates. It's translated honey, but that's what it was. So if you actually look at those agricultural products, you'll see that there are seven of them. So there were seven agricultural products that were mentioned, and there are, in fact, seven harvests. There's the barley, there's the wheat, and this is the order that they were harvested in: barley and wheat, the grapes, the figs, pomegranates, the olive oil, and the dates. And there were two of, as you can see, of those seven, two of those are grain and five of them are fruit. That's interesting. So these were the main major agricultural products of the land of Israel. And so in each season, these were harvested. And they match up with the seven feasts or appointments that God gave Israel. The Moed, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonements, and tabernacles. And those of you who follow the feast, we've just a week ago finished the last of the seven major feasts that Israel celebrated. They are prophetic for the church. And I've been meaning to teach on this, but I haven't. Maybe I'll have to get around to it. But there are also four fasts. There are seven feasts, but there are also four fasts that Israel also celebrated or commemorated. And I'll get around to teaching on those. So it's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonements, and tabernacles. Now, of those seven, three of them were actually designated as harvest festivals. Anyone, when you were growing up, you ever went to a harvest festival? Anyone who rode around in a back of a hay? Did you do that in Mississippi? Was what time of the year was it when you did that? In the fall? Yeah, you have a harvest festival. And I know at the church in Michigan, they did it for the kids. They got a tractor and they drove around on the bales of wheat or hay or whatever it was. Yeah, they do that and they pick pumpkins. Well, there were three harvest festivals that were designated in Israel. And I believe that they're significant. I believe God set them up deliberately. And of the seven feasts, these three harvest festivals, something special was supposed to happen or were commanded of the children of Israel. Does anyone remember what was commanded at the three harvest festivals? Well, they all had to come. It was a no-turn-down invite. It was a command of God that at these festivals, everyone that was a male Jew had to show up. You had to come to Jerusalem. So of these seven feasts, three of them, it was compulsory that you come to Jerusalem, that you be there for these festivals. It was not a matter of if you had you didn't want to go. You were under the law. You were supposed to make it. Anyone remember which three out of this list you had to come? Passover? Well, Pentecost. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, there were gathered about from all nations. Remember, they heard them speak in their tongue. Why were they there? Because Pentecost was one of the feasts, the harvest festival, where you were supposed to come to Jerusalem. And that's why on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from Greece, from Egypt, from Galatia. And so that when the Holy Spirit came, they said they heard these Galileans speak in their own tongue. And the reason is because Pentecost was one of the feasts where all of the Jews, wherever they were, had to try and make it back to Jerusalem. So Passover and Pentecost, and the last one, of course, is Tabernacles. So on those three feasts, you were supposed to make it to Jerusalem. These were the three harvest festivals. Exodus 23:14 tells us that. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread. Now unleavened bread and Passover were the same because unleavened bread started simultaneously and continued for 7 days. So Passover and unleavened bread are the same. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Not only that, they had to show up, but they couldn't show up with nothing. They had to bring something. Remember, what kind of a festival was it? A harvest festival. A harvest festival. That means you had to show up with your fruit, with your harvest, a gift for the Lord. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And then verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of it in gathering. Now, the feast of harvest is actually Pentecost, which thou hast sown in the field, and then the feast of the ingathering, which was tabernacles, the feast of tabernacles, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Remember, the Bible speaks about the latter rain and the latter harvest. So Israel had seasons for gathering in these seven agricultural products, and three of them were harvest festivals. Three times a year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. That's why Islam has the Hajj. See, when Muhammad first presented himself, he tried to persuade the Jews that he was their Messiah, and he incorporated many elements of Judaism. And that's why now Muslims have to go to Mecca during their lifetime. A practicing good Muslim is supposed to make a trip to Mecca. And those elements came straight out of Judaism, where in the law, they had to go to Jerusalem. See, three times a year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord thy God. So here are the feasts. And as I said, some of them overlapped. Unleavened bread and Passover, as you can see, pretty much started the same day. Passover was one day, and unleavened bread started, was called starting the next day, and it went on for 7 days. And then on the third day was the feast of unleavened bread. On the third day was the feast of first fruits, which is when Jesus arose. So here is a timeline of when unleavened bread starts. And so it covers Passover, and it covers first fruits. Exodus 12:18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, that means at sunset, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 20th day of the month at evening. So for 7 days, they had to eat the bread without leaven. You ever tried eating the same thing for 7 days? You did? Well, I know when you're a student, those ramen noodles, right? You can go a long way on that. You get different flavors. Well, for 7 days, they had to eat unleavened bread until the 120th day of the month at even. Now, all of these things that God designed, they're there as markers and as symbols for a future interpretation. Let's look at this some more. As I said, so Passover is also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread because they start at the same time. Passover is one day, but unleavened bread continues for 7 days. And let me just show you on the map. Now, the world today says Jesus was killed on a Friday and rose on a Sunday, but that doesn't actually work because the Bible says that he was 3 days and nights in the grave. And you can't get 3 days and nights from Friday to Sunday. You can't get 3 days and nights. So we can see, and I've tried to lay it out here. See if I can get this pointer to work. Okay. It's kind of working. Okay, so the Bible says he spent 3 days and three nights. So remember, it said at even. So at sunset is when the Passover began. So Jesus actually died around the time of the evening sacrifice, which is about in the afternoon at about 3 o'clock. And so evening to morning is the first night. And then we have the morning to the evening is the first day. So that's one day. And then we have the evening to the morning, the second night. And that's when the Passover would have ended because he was killed on Passover. And then we have the Friday, which is the 15th day, morning to evening, and so on. And then at evening is when, on Friday night at evening, is when the Sabbath starts at sunset. It's always the evening before. And as I've taught you before, Jesus actually rose at sunset on the Saturday. That's why when you read the Gospels, different ones went to the tomb at different times, but he was already gone. Because remember, in one of the scriptures it said, Mary went while it was yet dark. And when she went, he'd already arisen because actually The Sabbath ended at sunset the evening before. He'd already risen. And first fruits began. So we see the timeline. And then unleavened bread went on for another 4 days. So that's the timeline. So that way he spent 3 days and three nights in the grave. So at sunset on Saturday night is when Jesus actually arose. And that's also when the Feast of First Fruits began. Because in the Bible, it starts in Genesis, from the evening to the morning was the first day. Evening to the morning was the first day. Amen. So the first of the fruits is barley, the barley harvest. That was the first harvest that Israel celebrated, and that was in the spring months. Leviticus 23, verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I will give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. That means the very first barley that they harvested, they were to bound that up into a sheaf, as it was called. And they were to take it to the priest as an offering unto God. Verse 11, and ye shall wave the sheaf. Wouldn't it be great? Maybe we'd get blessed. We take our wallet on a Sunday morning, just wave it before God. You don't want to wait till then, all right. Amen. He said, take the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted. See, that's what they did with the harvest. They brought the first fruits and presented it to God. I told the Lord this week, actually, because he gave me my job, I really said to him, you know, none of this money is actually mine. My tithes definitely is God's, but actually, when it comes down to it, all the rest is his too. All the rest is his too, because I have a certain responsibility. And whatever shortfall happens, I'm going to have to make it up. So everything I have belongs to you, God. It's not mine. And so I've been trying to be really careful with anything I spend things on that it has a godly use, because it's not mine. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now, when was this? Now, in here, it's called Abib. And I don't know if you remember the teaching on that, but Abib is the name, actually, for the barley. The month was named after the barley when it got into a certain stage. Originally, the month was called Abib. And that was the month that the barley was harvested. And today, the name of that month has been changed. The Jews do not call it Abib anymore. It's known by the name Nisan. And so the Jews celebrate Passover on the 14th day of Nisan. But in the Old Testament, before the name was changed, it was called Abib because it was related to the barley harvest. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. That means, when it says appointed, it means at the feast appointed. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. None shall appear before me empty. So originally, that month was called Abib. At the time when the Jews were captured about 1,000 years later, well, no, it wasn't 1,000 years. It was about 1,000 years later, about 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came and he took the Jews captive into Babylon. But while they were there the 70 years, they started to adopt the Babylonian names for the months. So Abib became Nisan, which is a Babylonian word for that month. But originally, it was called Abib. And that was the month that they came out of Egypt. And the word Abib actually means fresh young barley ears. So the month was named after the picking of the barley. That's what Abib is. Exodus 9:31. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in ear. And the word ear in Hebrew is Abib, meaning it's just the fresh young barley. Abib then indicates a stage in the development of the barley. That month is a development of the barley. So we know that from several passages that the barley which is in the state of Abib has not completely ripened. That means you can't eat it that way. it has to be parched to eat it, but has ripened enough so that its seeds can be eaten if you parch it, if you roast it in fire. Look at this. Leviticus 2:14. And if thou offer a meat offering, when it says meat offering, it means food in general, not necessarily meat. If thou offer a meal offering or a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits. And in the Hebrew, it says, Abib, dried by the fire. So what it was saying was that when they harvested the barley in the month of Abib, it wasn't quite ready to be eaten. It couldn't be eaten directly. So before it had to, could be offered, it had to go through some fire. It had to go through some fire. It couldn't be offered the way it was because it wasn't quite ready. Isn't it strange that God told them to harvest it a little bit early? It had to be tried, so to speak, by the fire. Even corn beaten out of full ears. Ooh, that don't sound too good. But we see that that was how the barley was harvested. And then in the month of Abib is the month which commences after the barley has reached the stage of Abib. And 2 to 3 weeks after the beginning of the month, the barley has moved beyond the stage of Abib and is ready to be brought as a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So that was the first harvest festival, which was coincident with Passover and Feast of First Fruits and the unleavened bread, because they all happened in the same week. Then the next harvest festival, we said, was Pentecost. That was the second one where everybody, a believing Jew, had to come to Jerusalem. So Pentecost is also a harvest, an ingathering. Isn't that something? Because at that time, God gathered. But this time, it's not the barley. Anyone remember what it is? It's the wheat. The wheat. So you begin to see the symbolic nature of it. The barley then represents the Jews. Anytime in the Old Testament you're going to see the barley, it is associated with the nation of Israel. But the wheat is the Gentiles. We see that this time, when they offered the wheat, it was offered with leaven. Jesus will take you just as you are. Isn't that a good thing? You don't have to try and pretty yourself up. Just come to him believing as you are. Exodus 34:22. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. Now, the King James Version kind of makes it difficult to understand. When it says the Feast of Weeks, it's really saying the Feast of Sevens. Because we know that Pentecost is how many days after Passover? 50. 7 times 7 plus 1. So the Bible told, God told him then, that after seven, count off seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks plus one. And that would be the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And the feast of the ingathering, the final feast, is at the end of the year. So now we begin to see that God set up three harvest festivals. The question is, why? What do they symbolize? Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. That's a measurement, a Jewish measurement. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. See, we are in the wheat harvest. I don't know if you get where I'm going with this. But all of these ceremonies and symbols that were set up in the Old Testament were a prefiguration of what God was going to fulfill. He laid out his plan. He said in the Old Testament, I'm not going to do anything before I let my friend know. I'm going to let my people know. He's already laid out his plan. The barley harvest was the Jews. The wheat harvest is us Gentiles. God will take you as you are, as long as you will be given wholly unto him. As long as you come to him with no holding back. As long as you come to him with a true heart. Even then they were allowed to come, bring it with leaven. And leaven represents what? Sin. God will take you just as you are. Because he's the one that cleans us up. And they are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now the third feast was called the last feast was called the Feast of Ingathering, and that was when they had the final agricultural products, the olive and the grape. So Tabernacles is the harvest feast of the final ingathering. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. I got a call from Brother Antonio, and he's in New York, and he was telling me, of course, New York, certain sections of New York is very heavily Jewish. And he was telling me, because, you know, we just passed through the Feast of Tabernacles, that he was passing a Jewish synagogue, and they had built a booth, a big, they call it a sukkah, which is symbolized what God told them, that for 7 days they had to dwell in these temporary booths. See, we're dwelling in a temporary booth. We're dwelling in a temporary booth. See, God has set up all these symbols so that we can understand the roadmap. He's laid it out. He says, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. So let me summarize. So there are three harvest festivals. First fruits of the barley, which was presented on the Feast of First Fruits. What nationality was Jesus? He was a Jew. The Bible says he is the first fruits from them that are dead. He was the first fruits. He was the first one who came back in a body that's never going to die. He was the first fruits, and he was Jewish, the barley. And then on the Feast of Pentecost, they were to present the first fruits of the wheat. And then finally, on the Feast of Tabernacles, let me read the whole thing. And the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So that's the summary of the three harvest festivals. Of the seven feasts, three of them, you had to turn up or get left out. You can't not respond to the call of God, or else you're going to be left behind. Amen. Now, we see that there's a certain pattern there of the number seven. You notice that? There's a pattern of the number sevens. And what they have found is that all of these harvests were on a cycle of seven. The grains were harvested before or by Pentecost. The fruit was in the fall at the last festivals. The new wine festival came 50 days or 7 weeks after Pentecost. Until the new wine was offered, no one could drink of the new juice in the temple. Until it had first been given to God, they weren't allowed to touch the wine harvest. 14 weeks after Pentecost, shortly before the Feast of Trumpets, was the new olive festival. What does the olive oil represent? The anointing of God's Spirit. No one could use new olives until first it had been given to God. Now, I'm going to show you another Old Testament example to try and bring all of this home. And that's the love story in the book of Ruth. I wish I had looked it up, but there's a curse in the Old Testament. Maybe I'll try and find it. There's a curse. The Jews were told they could not marry outside of their nationality. And certain nations were worse than others. The nation of Moab, which was a descendant from Esau, they were told you should never marry anyone from that tribe, because if you do, they're banned from becoming a true Jew down to your 10th generation. 10th generation. So they were worse. That law was worse than Hitler. Hitler would call you a Jew if you had, I think, 1/8 Jewish. If you had one great-great-grandfather or grandmother was Jewish, you were Jewish and you could be sent to the... This was even stricter, down to your 10th generation. Under the law, they were not supposed to a Moabite person. But we just want to see something here so wonderful, God's grace. See, we were not descendants of Abraham. We were not descendants of any tribe. But look what God does, even in the Old Testament. So you know the story that Naomi had left Bethlehem, the house of bread, because there was a famine. And she went to the land of Moab with her two sons, and they married two Moabites, which they shouldn't do under the law. But both of them died. And then Naomi decided she would return to Israel because she had an inheritance in the land. But Ruth, one of the widows, said, listen, I'm going to come with you, and I'm going to declare your God to be my God. And so she comes back with her to Bethlehem. So Naomi, Ruth 1:22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. And the Bible is so smart, it tells us when. In the beginning of the barley harvest. So that tells us which feast was going on. Which one was it? Right, right. It's the barley harvest, the first one. So that means we know what they were celebrating. It was the Passover. It was the unleavened bread. It was the Feast of First Fruits. She came at the time of the barley harvest, the time that represents the Jews, right? The harvest that represents Israel. That's when she came. And of course, they had no money or anything, so under the law, though, you were allowed to go into the field and pick up whatever was left behind. Under the law, when someone owned a field, when they harvested the field, they would go through with a scythe, and they would cut down what they could. But a lot of times, they left a lot. Now, under the law, they were told, don't go back and try and pick up everything. You're only allowed to harvest your field once. Isn't that interesting? One harvest. And you're supposed to leave what you didn't get the first time for the poor. And once you had gone through the harvest, the poor were then allowed. That was their social security. That was their welfare. So poor people could go through the field and pick up whatever wheat or barley or whatever had not been harvested yet. But you see, the Bible is setting up something here because it tells us something significant. What brought the Gentiles in? What event made it possible for us to get into the church? The cross. When was the cross? When was the cross? What feast was the cross? Passover. Ruth, the Gentile, comes to Israel at the Passover. The event that many years later is what makes that temple curtain tear in two. Yeah. It's what enables us to come to Christ, isn't it? Before this, it was only the barley. It was only the Jews, but she comes at the time of Passover, symbolic of the time when Jesus opens the door for us Gentiles. Are you following me? Do you see this? The Bible didn't have to tell us when she came, but the Bible told us that because it's significant. Here is a Moabitess from a cursed line, not supposed to be part of the household of Israel, not worthy to marry anybody in Israel, let alone someone who is going to be a prince, a rich man. And how long does she stay? How long does this story go? She comes at the time of the barley harvest, and she stays until the end of the, what's the next harvest? After the barley, 49 days, what's the next harvest? Pentecost. Which is when she marries Boaz. Isn't that amazing? So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. And that's when the night at the end of the wheat harvest, when they were having the wheat harvest festival, Pentecost, that they had a party. And Boaz went to sleep up in the threshing floor. And she went to meet her husband. Do you see that? day of Pentecost, she becomes betrothed to a Gentile bride, is betrothed into the lineage of Abraham. See, these festivals, God didn't just make them up. He was setting up a pattern and showing us something. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, before the marriage, she's got some instructions. Wash thyself. Baptism. You see that? Naomi's telling her what to do to go meet her husband. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. The anointing is what? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Isn't God awesome? It gets me excited when I start to read and see how he laid it out. That she was going to become betrothed, this Gentile bride. That's the church. That's us. And put thy raiment upon thee. We're clothed with his righteousness. Aren't we? And get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the men until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. Now, it's significant all the way through the Bible, and I've taught this before about the shoes, is the sign of covenant. So she lays down and uncovers the skirt or covering and lays at his feet. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. You see, who preached the gospel unto the Gentiles? On the day of Pentecost, who preached the gospel to the Gentiles? Peter. Peter was a Jew. Naomi was telling Ruth what to do to be saved. Do you see that? It came from the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. That's what Paul says in Romans. And in this model that God set up of the harvest festival, we see that it's Naomi, the Jew, who is telling Ruth, the Gentile, what to do to meet her husband. And it's at the end of the wheat harvest. Now, you know, I didn't put all the little symbols in here, but you know what he tells her to do? He tells her to wait. He's got to go away and talk with the elders and sort it all out. See, we're waiting for him to come back. It's a done deal, but he told her to wait. I'm going to go down to the gate, and I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to redeem the land, and I'm going to take you to be my bride. See, this is the significance of the festivals. They are a harvesting, an ingathering. Amen. And Pentecost is ours. See, it was at the end of the wheat harvest, which is Pentecost, that she got betrothed to her husband, Boaz. Now, Boaz, anyone remember who was in his lineage? Who was Boaz the son of? No, got it wrong the wrong way. No, you're guessing now. I'll have to tell you. Boaz was the son of Salmon, and Salmon was married to Rachel the harlot. See how God doubles the significance of Gentile lineage. And of course, Ruth becomes the grandmother of who? David. She becomes one of the four women that are named in the lineage of Jesus Christ. See, isn't God awesome? He has laid it out for us to see that his word is going to be fulfilled and it stands forever. So she marries Boaz, her redeemer, at the end of the harvest. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until, see, he tells her to wait, until they have ended all my harvest. See, we're in that waiting portion. She gets betrothed to him at the wheat harvest, which is Pentecost. But the harvests aren't finished yet. So he tells her, wait until they have ended all my harvest. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. See, this is a revelation of the fact that these harvest festivals are significant prophetically. Okay? Now let's go a little bit deeper into the, because this is a two-part lesson. I'm going to really get the meat of it, I believe, next week. Remember now, if you remember the tabernacle, part of the furniture inside the holy place on the left was, there were three things in there. Let's see if you remember. On the left as you went in was the what? Candlestick. On the right was the bread of his presence, the show bread. And then in front of the curtain was the, no, you couldn't see that. I said the holy place. No, the brazen altar was outside. The altar of incense. So there were three things in the holy place, right? The candlestick, the menorah, the bread of his presence, and the altar of incense. Then there was the curtain, and then behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. Outside was the brazen laver and the brazen altar. Seven things altogether. Inside those, the holy place was just three things. So on the table of the bread, there were six, there were 12 loaves of bread. Now look at this. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. They always had to have holy bread or dedicated bread on that table. Now you see those vessels, those golden vessels, they contained, I want to think it's a kind of like maple syrup, but it was made with a frankincense. It was a syrup of some kind, an anointed syrup that they poured over the bread. And thou shalt set before me the show bread before me always. Now, I want to jump down to Matthew 16:9. How many loaves of bread were there? 12. Now, Jesus did two miracles to do with feeding people, right? The first time, the little lad had what? What did he have? Two fish and five loaves. But he did it again. This time, how many loaves were there? There were seven. When you add the two feeding of the 5,000, it adds up to 12 loaves. Do you not remember, understand, neither remember the five loaves? And Jesus puts them together so that you could not separate them. He pointedly joins the two miracles together to show you the significance here. Do we not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets he took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets he took up? How is it that he do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that he should beware of the bread of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What he was speaking about was the significance, and I'm going to bring that part to you now. Watch this. The loaves, the feeding of the 5,000 was not the first miracle to do with the bread that God had done. Look at this. In 2 Kings 4:42, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and he brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, right? And full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? Meaning there wasn't enough food because there were too many men. He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave. Do you see, God has already set up everything he's going to do already, laid it out in the Old Testament. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. The barley loaves represent Israel. The barley represents Israel. The wheat represents the Gentiles. And I'm not going to go into all of the different times in the Old Testament, but now let me show you this. John 4:35, say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Now, remember there were three harvest festivals, so we have to find out which one is he talking about. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Well, remember there's three harvest festivals. There's Passover, or unleavened bread, and then what's the gap between Passover and Pentecost? They were to count. Right. So that's not 4 months, is it? That's only 1.5 months. So it could not be that. It could not be the gap between Passover and Pentecost he was talking about. That leaves Pentecost to, what's the last one? Tabernacles. So now he's saying this. You say there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, this is a clue to the rapture. See, we may be waiting for Feast of Trumpets and Tabernacles because they come almost together. Jesus here was saying, you say there are yet 4 months to the harvest. Remember, he said, I'm going to have to shorten the days. I can't wait maybe till Tabernacles. I can't wait till Feast of Trumpets. See, if it was exactly on Feast of Trumpets, we'd all know when it was, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we know when it was? We know when it is next year. But he's saying here, you think it's 4 more months to Tabernacles and Feast of Trumpets, but I'm telling you, the field is already white and it's ready to harvest. And he goes on to another scripture to say, if I did not shorten the days, no flesh should be left alive. That's why, you know, we're looking at Feast of Trumpets and Atonement and Tabernacles. And it may not be. Because that's what we're saying. It's 4 more months. We've missed it this year, so he can't come now. He can't come now because it's got to be next year. Well, here he's telling you, you say it's 4 more months to the harvest. But I'm telling you, they're ready now. And in another place he says, listen, if I do not shorten the days. So those of you, and I've done it lots of times, looking at the dates, may be wrong. In fact, I'm pretty sure we're wrong. Because he says, no man knoweth the day, nor the hour. See, this is all to do with the mystery of the rapture. Because look, and I remember now, what was the agricultural products that they did at the end of the year? Remember what it was? It was the oil and the wine. Look at this, Revelation 6:6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, four creatures, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now that sounds very mysterious. And I will try and get to explaining more of that next week, because this is a two-part thing. You see, there's a revelation there. God has given us little hints, because what people are looking for is the wrong thing. Oh, it's going to be on Feast of Trumpets, Sister Mary. Yes. But he said, listen, you say it's 4 more months, but it isn't. See, from Feast of Pentecost to Tabernacles is 4 months. So that's how we can know when he was speaking. He was speaking on the Feast of Pentecost, and he was saying, you think there's 4 more months to the last feast, Sister Mary.
So a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny, is that possibly a time of famine or?
Yes. A penny back then was a day's wages.
A whole day.
So if you had to pay a whole day's wages for a measure of wheat, which was just about enough to make a loaf of bread, that doesn't sound good. But it has a spiritual application for the Gentiles and the Jews. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And the oil and the wine. So now let's look at this. Matthew 13:27. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while he gather up the tares, he root up also the wheat. The wheat. Now, that's the first time he says what had been sown. He didn't say before, he just said seed. But now we see he specifies what it was that had been sown. Who's the wheat? We are. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. See, the Bible speaks, remember there's 3 harvest festivals. And at each one, they gather in 3 different agricultural products. Hebrews 7:17 says this, for he testified, thou art a priest forever, speaking of Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek. What the Bible is telling us is that there are a certain order to the priesthood. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, which, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now, remember what it said, Jesus was Christ, was the first fruits. But in Revelation, it speaks about 144,000, and let's read this. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. If you could stand with me. I said this is two parts. You have to come back next week to hear the rest of it. To be continued. Amen. I've kept it to 1 hour. Amen. You know, that's what they do with these television shows. They break wild just about when it's going to get interesting. To keep you coming back. And another angel came. Now you will understand something. When I read this verse at the beginning, I'm going to read it again. Now you're going to be able to tell me which harvest this is. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine, for her grapes are fully ripe. That's right. You see, you can tell by the product which harvest it's speaking about. See, Scripture interprets Scripture. Isn't it? So you begin to see now that that is the very last harvest. That's the last one. That's the final ingathering. And next week I'm going to do part two, which I'm going to break it down some more and be a little bit more detailed. But I wanted to teach a series on the end times because we are living in the end times. I am never going to pay off my mortgage 1 month at a time. Now, God may bless me and I might just pay it off lump sum. But let's see. 30 years from now is when? 2046. You know how old I would be in 2046? I'd be 90. I'm not expecting to work till I'm 90. Amen. I'm looking forward to the harvest. I'm looking forward to the harvest. You say there are yet 4 months. But I'm telling you now, the fields are already white and ready to be harvested. We need to be ready, folk. We are the wheat. That's what he said in Matthew. Yeah, there's a lot of tears around. The Bible says that we should purify ourselves. Make sure you're not with the tears. Because we're supposed to be the wheat. We should be in that harvest of Pentecost. We should be in that Ruth bridegroom harvest. Now, remember what he told her. He says, wait until the end of all my harvests. God is so awesome. He's given us all the clues. He's laid it all out. And it's for us now to be encouraged and to look up. Bible says, for our redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very soon there's going to be a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen. The Bible says that all the virgins were sleeping. All of them were sleeping, the wise and the foolish. But the wise had their oil not only in the vessel, but they also had it in the lamp. They hadn't run out of it. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time. Father, we thank you for your word, your anointing. Lord, help it to find good soil. Help us to really be encouraged to seek your face as never before, to look for your coming, to be used of you mightily. Hallelujah. To be your disciples, to witness, oh Father, to declare your love and grace to many others. Lord, to let them know, Lord, that you are soon to come. Lord, we ask for your